refer to it.
We're in the Rambam, Perek 8, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Beis, Chapter 5, Law 2. Okay, just to briefly summarize what this Perek is about, it's about two more kinyanim. One is called a kinyan chalifin, which means bartering, where one person is exchanging one item for another item. And we're going to get also to kinyan sudar, which is a function of the one person picking up an item, and by him picking it up, the other person sells him the other item that he has, which is called the kinyan sudar. So we mentioned that all movable objects can be bartered one for another. For example, a cow for a donkey, wine for oil. Even if they were particular about the price, the rule is when we're going to switch this to this, as long as one of the parties pulls or makes a kinyan on one item, and it's expressly understood that they're exchanging the items, then even the other item now is in the domain of the other person, even if it's in another place, whatever. That's how a kinyan chalipin works, a bartering kinyan works. So we're going to now continue with chalipin for the next 3.5 halachas. Some are very obvious ideas. What if a person would like to barter two objects to one person, and the other person barters one object? Okay, so we said now, when it was one for one, if one person makes a kinyan on one, the other goes. What if the person who wants to purchase the two lifts up one of the two items? Can the entire chalipin process take place as well or not?
And it's spoken out.
It's spoken out, we want to exchange both, but the guy who wants to take the two, he only picked one of the two up. So Rambam says, Hechliv chamor bepar avetle. Guy's exchanging his donkey for someone else's cow and a sheep. Mm. Now, what does he do? The guy wants to sell his, barter his donkey. Umasha chapara, so he pulls the cow. But didn't pull the sheep yet. Lo kana, there's no kinyan made at all. Why? She'ein kan meshicha gemura. There's not a complete pulling. Okay? So they said, since it's understood that the two are being exchanged for the one, you've got to make a complete chalipin on one side. So if the guy, for example, the other guy would have pulled the chamor, then the other two would have gotten exchanged. But when you want to get, you got to pull the entire side that's being exchanged on one side for it to work on that side. The chen kol goyer, so anything similar to that. Now a most unusual case is halacha gimel, which we're going to find out is going to be an exception to the rule of kesef. Remember we said, biblically, a kinyan kesef works. The rabbi said we don't allow a kinyan kesef to work because we're afraid that after the money is given, the seller won't do what he can to protect the object if it could get destroyed. So generally that's so, but we're going to have in halacha gimel and halacha dalet somewhat of an exception to that rule. Now here's a most unusual case, and that's why it is the exception. Let's say the guy wants to buy something for money. Now, usually the way you buy things for money says, okay, how much you want for that iPhone? $200. Okay, he goes in his pocket, he counts out, $200. Here's $200. That's a typical kinyan kesef. What if in the case where he's like this, he says, listen, I want to buy that iPhone, and just takes a bunch of bills in his hand. Here, with these bills. Okay. And the guy says, okay. Okay, that's an unusual type of a sale. So let's see what happens. Domim she'ein makpin olein. If money is used for the purchase, but nobody's particular, that's a machlokas, though, there are those who argue with the Ram in detail here, but but they're not particular about the money. Harehein kishar metalplim. They will work like other metalton. The money will work as if, but it's not, but as if it's a bartering between one movable object with another movable object. We'll see, it is ultimately a kinyan kesef. It's not a chalipin, because we know, for example, that money is not used for a chalipin. you know, and we want you to say, okay, here's $50, and that's a chalipin for your money. So you can't do a chalipin with money. But here, this money, he's not very particular about how much money he's giving him. He just takes a fistful of money and he gives it. According to the Rambam, it appears that not the buyer nor the seller knows how much money is there. Others disagree with that. The Rava disagrees. And some say it only works if the seller doesn't know, but the buyer has to know. Either way, the seller for sure was not particular. He's not. The buyer is. I'm sorry. He said the Ravid says. I'm sorry.
The seller's not
going to
know.
One second, Shaf. Alokech. One second. All right. Anyway, from the Rambam appears that nobody knows, but the Kesef Misraish, maybe the Rambam agrees that what Sha'afim Amoich Bovad, it could be, but that the buyer has to know. The buyer knows, but either way, according to everybody, the seller doesn't know. Anyway, so guess what? Harem Kishar Metalim coming. Even though it's a Kenyan Kesef, it'll be considered in a certain way like movable objects, and it'll make a Kenyan. Ketzad, what's the case? Harei shechofan mos below mishko. The buyer just pulls a wad of cash. Just remember, Mark's 9:45.
I remember.
As you walked in. Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
You could learn with us. The guy takes a wad of cash below mishko without measuring it out. Below me, not counting it. Elenetolon askara. He takes it as a guesstimate. He says, this ought to be enough. Okay. Vamarlo, Mechorli Parasko Yayin Zeb Eil. Sell for me your cow or this wine with this money. Venas Mazami. And he gives him the money. Kana, he acquires the animal or whatever. Venechman Yochal Aksor. And no one's allowed to renege on the deal. Even though we normally said that money does not work for a Kenyan rabbinically, and you've got to make a Meshicha on the thing you want to buy, here it will work.
So he didn't pull the cow?
He didn't pull the cow. He just gave the cash. But he doesn't know how much cash. He has a guesstimate of cash. So what happens? Why? Very simple. This is a most unusual case. And therefore we don't need to pull. In other words, the rabbis, when they make a decree, they make a decree on normal situations. Things that are abnormal, they don't make a decree in that situation. So it's not mostly when a person uses money to buy an item, the buyer and seller are fully aware of how much money's on the table here. When they don't know how much money's on the table and they're still willing to go with that deal, that's not the kind of case that the rabbis would make the decree, that kind of sale of money. Okay? For whatever, you have that in many cases, that the decrees are not made for unusual situations. And this is the most unusual situation. The rabbis did not apply the rule in that unusual situation. Ah, you're going to say, yeah, but it'll burn and this, that. You know what? If he doesn't care about the money, he's certainly not going to care about the guy fetching it to burn it. Right? And that they don't seem to care much about anything. And the rabbis said, it's such an unlikely case, more than anything else, that they would not make their decree. Remember, biblically, you have to remember, biblically, money helps. Finished. All right? The rabbis came along and were worried that if you're going to let money help, the seller won't do what he can to protect it. They only make their decrees in normal situations that exist. Abnormal situations, they usually don't make the decree under those circumstances. Therefore, they did not make it.
Yeah. I assume if you were exchanging for a rare dollar bill, that would be metaltolated because it's like it's the thing. It's not, you're not using it for the actual.
It's not currency. Yeah, I would have guessed so.
So in this case, the cow's sitting in the seller's barn somewhere. It's not even physically there, perhaps.
For sure. It could be in China.
Right. But that's the whole issue about him not worried about him not looking after it, because if this barn is not worried about how much cash.
Well, more than that, it's an unusual case. The rabbis wanted to do it under typical cases of Kenyan Kesef. And this is not a typical case of Kenyan Kesef. And now Halacha Dal gives us another unusual case where we're going to allow a sort of Kenyan Kesef to work, because it's also unusual. Okay, a little bit lengthy and wordy in the explanation, but it's a very simple halacha. Let's say Ruvain sold any movable object to another fellow. L'shimon, b'chamishim zuz. Okay, I'm going to sell you my watch for $50. He gives the guy the watch. The guy pulls the watch. Okay. And Vekana Shimon HaMetalta when he's chayav dam. Shimon acquired it, and now he owes Reuven $50. Now, the fact that he didn't pay is irrelevant. He made the kinyan, they agreed to the deal. Shimon is now the owner.
It's a debt.
Now he has a debt. He owes $50. He has to pay for purchasing this item. Okay. Ve'achar shenischayim Shimon 50 zuz. Now that Shimon owes the 50 zuz to Reuven, guess what? Hoyelo yayin obehema oevet. So this Shimon happens to have some nice commodities of his own that he owns, such as wine, an animal, or a servant. He has some things. Mishar matav, other move of object. And he wants to sell them. I guess he wants to sell it, so he has $50 to pay Reuven. So Reuven says, wait a minute. Vermelo Reuven, guess what? Sell me 50 zuz worth of wine, and that will sell the deal. And now we're even. You don't have to give me anything. Why? But I say, you know, I always like the wine you make, and now I'm going to... So by the debt, then this debt was incurred by Shimon purchasing something from Reuven. That's very important. Reuven wants to go back and buy something from Shimon from the debt that's there. It's almost, it's not exactly, but it's almost like a retroactive chalipin, if you think about it, because although the first sale was a sale for money, the kinyan was whatever, meshicha, whatever, he owed him money. At the end of the day, instead of taking the money, the guy's going to take the guy's wine. It wasn't a direct chalifin bartering, straight up. But at the end of the day, it's tantamount to bartering. Yeah. But also, legally, what is it really? It's a cash deal. If you owe me money, and I waive the debt, as it were, that's tantamount to you giving me cash. Now, really, if you think about it, we said a kinyan, you can't make a kinyan with cash. The second sale now, not the first sale. The second sale, when Reuven says, I want to buy the wine that you have, and what's the cash I'm going to pay? The $50 you owe me that I'm going to waive. So let's say he says, I waive the thing. So let's continue. Sell me the wine with the $50 that you owe me from what you just bought from me. Right? And now that's going to be for Amalek. And he says, hey, and he says, yes. And now what has not yet happened? Reuven has not pulled in the new object he wanted to sell. So what's he really done? The second sale is happening through what? The money that's owed. That is really a sale through kesef. And we said rabbinically we don't allow that to happen. But this will happen. Hang, v'amar lo, hang. So Connor Reuven and Matal Reuven has purchased wherever that second item is. If it's in China, he has it. Viafa Pishol Muscle, even though he didn't pull it or lift it up. What? So, but how does that work? Isn't that a Kenyan Kesef? Isn't he really buying it with Kesef? Yes. But Shigab Zed, Dover Shayna Matsu, this is also a not usual thing, same thing. Vohitsrichuva Meshicha, and therefore Meshicha was not necessary. It's very unusual that I go and buy something from you, and I owe you the money, and a few minutes later, the guy turns around and says, you know, I'll buy this thing. That's an usual via chalipin. So, now, as opposed to the next case, though, what if Shimon owes Reuven a debt? Has nothing to do with Reuven selling something to Shimon recently. It could be a loan from 5 years ago, and he loaned him $50. And now Reuven turns to Shimon and says, oh, I see you're selling wine. So that loan from 3 years ago that I loaned you, let's cancel the loan. And that will be the money for me to purchase the item from you. The Amar Lo. And Reuven says to Shimon, Mechorli metaltalin bachov sheyeshli etzloch. Sell to me that particular movable object that you have in lieu of the debt that you owe me that I will release you from. For us, I mean, they're both agreeable to it. Lo kana, it's not a kinyan. Why? Because that is not an unusual case. That's fairly usual. You owe me money, and now you want to sell something. And I want to buy it for that. So he doesn't acquire the attribute until he picks it up. Or you pull something that can't be lifted up. Or you use another viable kinyan. This would not, this is not an, so although, what do you mean? He's using kesef, it really is kesef, and a kinyan kesef doesn't work, the rabbis decreed it, and this is not an unusual case. You might think it's unusual, it's not. Here it says he has just says a loan. He has a loan, an outstanding loan. So he wants to buy something on the outstanding loan. But if the guy just bought something and owes him for the item he bought, and then you're turning around shortly afterwards, that is considered
unusual. Why didn't you just do it direct, the bartering?
Because it wasn't thinking of bartering yet.
It occurred to him afterwards.
Yeah, it only occurred to him afterwards. And it's, and it looks more like a retroactive barter. Here we have a debt. It doesn't even look like a retroactive barter. There's a real debt. And when I just release a debt, though, that's for sure a way to pay. It's just as good as cash. So therefore, that's not so unusual. While buying something and owing and then buying the other guy buying that is unusual. And therefore, they don't decree that. Yes, sir.
I assume modern bartering wouldn't work with this. Modern bartering is you have organizations. Let's say I write something for Paul, but I don't need accounting fees, so I get a credit of 10 things, and then maybe I want to buy a printer, so I give those 10 credits to...
It's almost like money.
Yeah, so, so you bank credits, and then they have an organization, so I assume it wouldn't work, because you're going back and forth. You're not dealing... It's not a one-on-one kind of thing.
Well, you owe me money because I bought... I didn't buy something.
There's like 100 people, so... Maybe I need rabbinical services, so it goes like in a chain.
Okay, so we're not buying things, we're buying services.
It's almost, it's almost the same as cash. Yeah. So what's cash?
It's the void of
same
taxes.
Credits, right? That was a credit to you for those things.
Really?
They charge HST and that stuff, right? They're supposed to.
If you let them know.
So my question was, I'm just struggling, why do we care if it's common or uncommon? Shouldn't you have to do a kinyan anyway?
No, there's a rule.
Why does that make a difference?
Again, rabbis only institute gzeros in common cases. That's when the rabbis make a decree, there's a whole bunch of rules for decree. I'll give you another example. Wearing gloves on Shabbos. Okay? Biblically, can you wear gloves on Shabbos when there's no Eruv? Yes. Yes. Right? What did the rabbis say?
You
can't. Why? Because you may take them off when you shake somebody's hand. You may carry them if you can't wear them. When there's no Eruv, you can't wear gloves. What if it's 40 below in December? Then many opinions say you can, because in a place of pain, the rabbis didn't make the decree. The rabbis only employed their decrees under certain circumstances, because they realize it's a biblical law. The rabbis did it for a reason, but they're not going to apply it all the time. So if their law will create pain, they won't do it, and they will only do it in typical scenarios that exist that are common. And one of the rules of rabbinic decree is that they don't apply it in cases that are not common. That's the rule of rabbinic decrees. So unusual cases, they don't apply the rule. That's just the rule.
Who rules it was unusual?
Well, I guess the rabbis in those times would say this is an unusual. The rabbis, in other words, you don't want things that are common. A common case is, what's more common? Me paying cash for something, or me buying something from somebody on credit, and then the guy turns around and uses my credit on that, which I just bought for him to use it to buy for me. That's an uncommon case, because normally what will be common is do a chalipin already, or come up with the cash
That's
or something.
Asked, yeah.
That's, the rabbis consider that uncommon. While an outstanding debt from somewhere else, they consider that not. So they're the ones who determine what's common and what's not common. That's the rules of the decree. Okay, now that the next halacha hay is going to be a segue halacha. The first line and a half is just going to summarize what we've learned so far, and then it makes a smooth segue into the next kinyan sudar, okay, which will all be explained. Hakarkos va'avodim, that answers your question mark from yesterday. Va'behema ushar kol matalfim, land, Canaanite slaves, animals, and any other type of movable object, they can all be bartered with a chalipim. All right, so you can do chalipim on land. So if I'll sell you an acre of land if you sell me your iPhone. So if I pull the iPhone, you own the land. That's a chalipim, right? And this, in the Talmudic parlance, And will the Rambam later on will refer this, a chalipin is called Vahainu Kinyan. The Gemara will call this a kinyan. When they don't say what kind, when the Gemara just says a kinyan was made, they always mean chalipin. If it's a different kind of kinyan, they'll say kinyan this, kinyan that, kinyan this. When it's just generally said kinyan, it's referring to this, chalipin. Now, I don't know why the Rambam not just now goes straight into segueing from chalipin, which is a bartering one object for another, and goes right into sudar, which we'll explain, kinyan sudar, which is similar but not the same. The ikar haderech hazos, and the main way to do this, it's a variant of it. I don't know why he calls it the ikar. Sheitein hakone lamakne. So where the buyer buys it from the seller, what does he do? He takes kli kolshu. He takes any type of item, kolshu, meaning of any value, even a very little value. V'yomer lo, and he'll say to him, knei kli zeh chelef hachoser. I take this, acquire this utensil, and that will be in exchange for this piece of property that I want from you. In other words, so Reuven is selling a piece of property to Shimon. So Shimon will say, here, pick up this handkerchief, acquire this handkerchief, you get the handkerchief, I get the property. Now, of course, I'm going to have to pay you money afterwards. But that's the agreement. That's what they see at the weddings. This is called the Kinyan Sudar. Sudar, 1 second. Sudar means a handkerchief. That's the common thing, but it doesn't have to be a handkerchief. It could be a pen, it could be a cup, it could be anything. Anything that's obviously not worth the item that's being sold. All right? This is different than bartering. Bartering, the two items are relatively equal in value. So once one picks up one, the other one goes along with that. Here, it looks like bartering, but it obviously is not. Again, the difference is a chalipin, both parties are both a buyer and a seller. I'm buying from the other guy, I'm selling what I have. Here with a sudar, only one is the buyer and one is the seller, and this is just another type of a kinyan that is done. So I want to sell my piece of land. Let's say there's no cash available. Whatever, for whatever reasons, the other kinyanim are difficult to make. The guy says, well, simple. The buyer says, I have a handkerchief. Take this handkerchief from me. And with this handkerchief, by you picking up the handkerchief, this will be, so to speak, an exchange for the property. Because we need something to make the kinyan work on. So since you, Mr. Seller, are picking up my handkerchief, so it's like we've exchanged the handkerchief for the property. But of course, we understand that you now, that I owe you $1,000 for the property. You got to pay me $1,000 for the property.
Was the transaction at the wedding? What's actually occurring there?
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's finish this halacha first. And that's what he says. So he says to him, "Kinei klize, acquire this relatively, it has to be worth something though. It can't be worth nothing. See, even a handkerchief's worth something, right? Penny, whatever, right? Chalef, in exchange for either a chutzer, piece of land, yayin, wine, behemoth, animal, eved, a Canaanite slave, shumacharta, because you sell me for so and so much money. And once the kin is made, now you will give the money as well. Kaven shig bia hamocher esakli, once the seller has lifted up this cheap item, vikano, and he has acquired it, okay, kana halokech osa karka, the buyer now has acquired that real object that's meant to be sold, the land or the movable objects. Afal pisha dayin l'mashchem, even though he didn't pull, he didn't make a kinyan on the thing he's buying, v'lasun didn't give any money, and once that's done, the echad mehem ein yochel lachser boy, and nobody can back out on the deal. That's a full legitimate deal. This is not a kinyan kesef. This is not a kinyan kesef where the rabbis would make the decree. Okay, there's a lot of these things we don't make the decree, right? But so that it's not a straight kesef. It's an unusual kesef case. All right, same thing. So that is the typical Kinyan Sudar. So the same thing when the Chasson, he is making a deal. He is now making himself liable for a responsibility to the wife. Right? So now, you know, he says, so what am I going to get for that? Well, you get this handkerchief. Right? And now, so you get the handkerchief, and now you're going to, and this person acquires, the woman, so to speak, acquires the rights of the ksuva. Right? That ksuva is worth a lot of money, isn't it? That ksuva, that responsibility, that whatever the monetary value of that is, that you could take a ksuva and sell it on open market, and it will fetch you a good price if you want to collect for the woman instead. So there's certainly
a negotiable instrument.
Oh, it's for sure. So the woman is getting this. So you got to make a kinyan here. That's the whole point. What's the kinyan being made? You know, you just write. There is a shtar also. There's a shtar with the ksuva that's being signed. But you want to make a kinyan as well. So the kinyan that's being made is he's lifting up the handkerchief. And as he's lifting up the handkerchief, now I get the handkerchief and you get the ksuva. And that's what's happening. And we will learn. So you're going to say, oh, it should be the kala's handkerchief. You're going to say, wait, there's something missing. So we have yet to learn a couple of halachas from now. The handkerchief does not have to come from the buyer. It can come from even a third party. Can do the handkerchief thing as well. And we'll see a number of examples of how this will all fit into this case over there when we come. That's the only time you ever see a suitor. It's interesting. You never see it anywhere else, but it could be done with regular business. It could be done the same way. Let's just do the next one. Just three lines. So let's just do this.
Okay.
Same thing. So I'm selling your chametz. You're giving me the right to sell your chametz. So I'm getting the right to sell your chametz. So what are you getting? So you're getting the handkerchief. You get the pen, look at you, and I get all the chametz to sell to the goy. I'm just the goy's agent to buy the chametz. So you're going to be selling the chametz. So what are you going to get to make the kinyan happen? Well, we're going to give you the handkerchief. And now that you get the handkerchief, now we can sell the thing.
Mr. Fiction, what happens to the pen?
Oh, well, we'll see. We're going to talk about that in the next two halachas. You can give it right back. There's going to be a matan al manas lahachzer. No, you're giving it to him temporarily is also giving it to him.
So that's a value to just owning it for
a
moment.
Just for a second. You gave him some, and therefore, even if it's a third party, even if it's, and usually it's the witnesses. It's the witnesses or the rabbi or whatever. The rabbi says, here, pick up my handkerchief. It's not even the kala who's doing it, and you're going to give me back the handkerchief. It's still a Kenyan suitor.
The kala's for life.
Okay. Okay, I guess we'll stop.